Good day, everybody. This is Eddie Huff, and you're listening to Fresh Black Coffee. Brand new version, just fresh out of the pack. In fact, by the way, this is great product placement. You can get your Ugandan coffee here as well.
That's right.
Here you go. We got Ugandan coffee in a medium or a gorilla roast. Ooh, hey, no, seriously, everybody, we're having a good time. We're full of fluid and ready to do it this Saturday afternoon. I've got my friend David from the Giant Home from Lisbon.
Yes.
And we got Peter Bialish.
Yes. Good to be here.
I had to take lessons on how to say that name. If you saw how it's spelled, it doesn't look anything like Bialish, but I'll take his word for it. Peter Bialish, author, publisher, speaker.
Yes.
In fact, the way Peter and I met, I have to, for full disclosure, he is publishing my book, which is taking us now, 2 years?
Amazing book, though.
But I'm just, it's crazy. I'm stuck on the bibliography, people, so please help me. Pray for me. I never did well in English, so my bibliography is the source of contention right now. I need somebody to just come in, and I'll do that for you. Moving right along. Hey, I hope everybody's doing well. We're having fun, as I said. We've got Julian back at the board today. Hey, Julian.
All right.
Yeah, he can't say hi because we don't have enough mics this week. So
he makes us sound better than we really are.
Yeah, really. Next week, we'll have Juge back up, okay? He's all refreshed from his vacation in Corpus Christi, Texas. He was on the beach. Yeah, staying on the beach. A lot of beach time. He got a little browner, I think. A little tan. I guess Mexicans don't tan as well as black people or white people. White people always bragging about how they're dark, almost as dark as me. Yeah. And I said, think again. Yeah, see, Peter's one of them, I think.
I am in spots, you know.
Yeah, it's spots. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, from now on, that's what we're going to call you.
No!
Spot.
Oh, there you
spot.
Go.
We've got Spot. This is Eddie Huff with Spot.
There you go.
Spot and Juge. There we go. No, anyway, boy, we're having a hard time getting started. But it is a lot of fun. If you had heard the pre-show conversation, you'd really say. In fact, I think David is going to somehow get that on there. Oh, actually, on the video portion, it will be on there.
It'll be in the bloopers for sure.
It'll be in the blooper reel. Yeah, we're going to do a blooper reel. I was just telling them about how my people have been abused for 300 years at the hands of white people. And then he had nerve to ask, "You mean your mother's people?"
That's right.
And I'm like Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. Those of you who have listened to me before, but I always say, if we do reparations, Barack Obama will have to sell his $25 million house on the beach because he'll have to pay double.
There you go.
Because his father's people from Africa sold us into slavery. And his mother, people from Kansas who were slave owners, bought us.
Yeah.
So Barack goes twice.
Yeah,
and his kids and wife get zero, nothing.
There you go.
Nothing, zilch. So anyway, I at least get a half. I should get a half of a portion.
I'll support that.
Because Germans weren't involved. See, Germans were not involved in slavery in the slave trade. I mean, good news. Good news there.
Polish weren't either.
Oh, look, there you go. Peter's safe.
And my people actually were sold into slavery. I have two uncles that were officers in Napoleon's army, and they lost a battle down in Spain. They were captured, sold into slavery. After about 10 years, these two brothers escaped and walked all the way back to Belgium, only to find out their wives had married other men, thinking they were dead. That's my heartstring.
But that doesn't count. That doesn't count. That's nothing compared to the 300 years of total abject abuse my people suffered half of my people suffered at the hands of most of yours.
But I can document my relatives.
Oh, I'm sure I can too.
Okay, good.
There's a thing called, 31 and Me or something in Ancestry.com. Yeah. I could bet I can pull up all kinds of slaves.
Yeah.
On my side.
Good, good.
Thank you. Now that we've settled that.
All right.
Anyway, I think we better get down to some more serious stuff.
Yeah.
I want to start the conversation today discussing the Olympics.
We didn't do Babylon B today.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you for reminding me. Dave, you've got
I do have an announcement. It's not a Babylon. I put this up yesterday.
Okay.
But in lieu of that time, I want to just say this. I posted up. Anybody interested in a free helicopter ride to Grand Lake this weekend. I still have two spots open. It's a flight for four people, and Debbie and I have room for two more. We'll leave Saturday right after the show. It's Saturday morning as we're taping, and we'll arrive near Shangri-La for a late breakfast.
Oh,
then we'll launch the yacht for an afternoon cruise around the lake. Then we'll fly back to town early in the evening. Now, if you're interested, please text me, preferably somebody with a helicopter and a yacht. Otherwise, we can't go.
Okay, you got us.
There you go.
I was waiting. Yeah, I was waiting for that person. Somebody with a helicopter and a yacht. I don't know. Yeah, it depends. It couldn't be that big of a yacht on the lake. So anyway, yeah, that is funny.
Make a U-turn.
Yeah, that's good.
In my mind, it's huge.
I can imagine. Yeah. I imagine. Yeah. So, Peter, welcome again. Thank you very much for coming in
here
to join us today. Yeah, this is a little – it's probably not what you expected, is it? Hey, the Olympics are over today, or I guess tomorrow officially. I think tomorrow's the official – I haven't watched a lot of it, but every night my wife and I, after a certain time, we'll watch. And the U.S. leads in the total medal count, but the Chinese lead us in gold medals by about four or five in gold. But we're ahead like 20 total if you take gold, silver, and bronze. But it does not tell the whole story. I mean, seriously, I noticed this earlier. Every time, you know, somebody, especially in track and field, swimming, and gymnastics, every time somebody beat us, you know, Australia just won that race, and it's Sylvia so-and-so who attended UCLA or swims for USC or swims for Florida. And, you know, and even the 100-meter gold medalist, she won the – I mean, she was a great runner, and then they interviewed her afterwards, and she spoke better English than me. And she represented Puerto Rico, although she was born and lives and trains in the United. In fact, she went to college at the University of Kentucky with another competitor, the silver medalist. They both ran on the same University of Kentucky track team. Mm-hmm. So if you took all of the foreign athletes that won gold medals, including probably some Chinese, they're all American trained. People come here because we have the best training facilities. We have the best atmosphere. The best food, probably, and nourishment for people to athletes and so forth. So anyway, it's just kind of funny how, you know, everybody's bragging about these medals or wants to brag about them. But like I said, half of them train here now. To their credit, the Russians, I have to give it to them, don't train here. They're just Russian or Ukrainian or Azerbaijani or all of these.
There's a few countries involved.
Yeah, there's a well, actually, that's the former Soviet Union.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, I do have to say, I do like the Russian Olympic team's name. You know, have you seen it? You don't know? You know,
ROC.
ROC, Rock.
Yeah.
It's Rock. Rock wins the gold medal. You know,
exactly.
The Russian Olympic Committee. Now, I have no idea. And I think they've still, I don't know how many years Olympics, does anybody know how long they're banned because of doping or something?
Well, no, and that was why I was going to say why they don't train the United States is because we've got this thing called the NCAA that checks on doping.
Right, but but they know that now, so obviously they would not be doping, I would imagine.
Right, oh okay. Yes. Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
Here's the deal. How can they say that women that got testosterone shots or got this supplement or this are banned? But men that are running as women, we have to allow them in, and as long as they call themselves transgender.
Oh. Well, to the Olympic Committee's credit, though, they realize that the rule they made on this in 2012 is flawed.
Oh, it's horrible.
And so when this Olympics is over, they're going to go back and revisit that.
Oh, right. So this is the last Olympic. For example, wasn't there a weightlifter
was
a guy?
Right.
In fact, I just saw this morning some podcaster got banned off of some site because he called this transgender person a man.
Good.
Well, I
mean, great. Good for him.
Their loss.
But.
Yeah.
And we know what a him is. We know what a non-him is.
Yeah, because, I mean, in short, for a person to have natural testosterone in their body for 30 years, developing, bulking as a man, and then for the last few months to all of a sudden take drugs to isolate that testosterone so it doesn't show up and say, see, I'm clean, I'm a woman. Well, that's garbage. They've been doping for 30 years.
Yeah.
You're talking about the man transgenders?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's exactly
bone
it.
Bone density and things like that. But yeah. But the committee realized that they made a big mistake. They didn't think it was going to go like it did. So stay tuned for the next 2 years to see what they do.
We'll see. It'll be interesting. By the way, I want to clarify something. Now, I am as upset as anyone else at the U.S. women's soccer team kneeling and different people kneeling and protesting, et cetera, et cetera. But something has been misinterpreted. The U.S. women's soccer team was shown in various media as kneeling after, before the loss of the first game, everybody champion. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, good. They deserve to lose because they're protesting the flag national anthem. They're not doing that. They haven't done that for a few years. They now do stand for the national anthem, but they choose after the anthem, then they kneel in solidarity against racism and sexism, all those isms that ought to be wasms.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Including communism.
Okay.
Should be a commie-wasm. Socialism should be social-wasm. In other words, gone.
And, you know, I can respect that.
Yeah. So, Now, even though I think it's idiotic, like our kneeling is going to cause a racist. I'm sitting at home and I'm just a rank racist and say, oh, you know what? They knelt. In solid, I'm not a racist anymore. I love those black people or those Hispanic people or those Azerbaijanis and the black people at home. Oh, yeah, you know, man, those honkies are all right. I love honkies now instead of hating them. You know, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's silly.
It's virtue signaling.
Exactly. I like the way they used to say it in the 80s and 90s. Symbolism over substance.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's symbolism over substance. It means zip. Zero.
And I always wonder, too, how much of this is just a marketing thing, too? You're getting attention? Here I am. Here's a target audience. We want to get this target audience.
Yeah, like Megan Rapinoe all of a sudden in these Subway commercials. She's got these commercials.
Yep.
She's a has-been with purple hair.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, basically, she never was that great. Now, Carly Lloyd, you know, she's been for, 20 years just, and she actually scored the winning goal in this last one. So I've got to give it to her. I mean, I don't want to diss everybody. You know, there's some other really good people out there. But I just, it's time to stop this nonsense. Just stop. Grow up. Act like adults. Here's the funny one. I've always said, I don't know if we've talked about it on here. The NFL, when they go to England, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And they play the national anthem. And you got guys kneeling.
Yeah.
Then they play God Save the Queen. Have we talked about this before?
Oh, yeah.
They play God Save the Queen, and they stand up.
Yeah.
Who do you think brought the slaves to it? They play Holland. They stand for the Dutch national anthem. They play Spain, Portugal. They stand for their – those are all the people that brought the slaves to America. It wasn't any American that went over into Africa and brought people here. It was those countries that they play Iraq or some Islamic nation. And the trans-Saharan slave trade, which took black people out of Africa over to the Middle East, was much worse, much longer, 700 years older than the transatlantic slave trade. It was more brutal. It was worse. And, in fact, it's still going on today.
Yes.
Yet these people will stand for their national anthem, but we're going to kneel for ours. You people are out of your minds.
Well, they're uninformed.
Yeah.
Like, that's grossly uninformed.
That's true.
Hey.
But you can be informed if you buy my book.
That's right. And listen to this podcast.
And listen to I better not say too much. I've given it all away.
I do want to say something. And I don't want to rehash last week. Babylon Bee had a great zinger, you know, about Biles, the person, you know, awarding her for not participating, right? I want to say sometimes stepping out does take a challenge. Take Eric Little in the 1924 because his conviction said, no competition on Sunday.
Right.
Yes.
It took some guts.
It was Saturday.
Oh, Saturday.
Because you're Jewish. Yeah, it's Sabbath.
Yeah, Sabbath.
But anyway, so that's my point. And it's, I don't want to belittle her. I do think it took some guts for her.
Oh, I'm with you. Although we did that, I was attacking. In fact, that was my next point.
Yeah.
I was attacking more the people who were making, which I think the Babylon Bee was doing.
Yes.
They were attacking the people who were making this big deal out of her not participating, getting a non-participation trophy than her.
Yeah.
Because look at everything. I mean, how many other medals were awarded to girls that would not have been able to have a gold medal?
So
she handled herself with poise, with class, and she got out there the last
Yeah.
They and still ended up with another bronze medal.
But one thing that was interesting is a soccer team, when they lost, one of the big names from the soccer team said that they lost because they weren't mentally tough. So there was a discussion about the soccer team said they weren't mentally tough.
They admitted.
Then you get the Biles thing with it's the mental health. Yeah. And so there was for about 24 hours there was this, are you supposed to be mentally tough? Yes or no? Is it okay to be weak? You know, how does that whole thing fit?
Oh, I agree. All of a sudden we have given athletes an opportunity to show weakness, whereas before, in other words, it's not just show weakness, because weakness will show itself. Right. Weakness doesn't need any help, does it?
No.
but what we've done, we've championed weakness instead of championing strength.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guarantee you, athletes throughout history have struggled with some of the same, like, for example, the twisties is what apparently Miss Biles had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And all of a sudden, oh, the twisties are bad. Da, 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 da. How is it that no one ever heard of the twisties before this Olympics?
Right. Yeah.
Have you ever heard it before? No. Other girls that fall on their butt or whatever?
No.
I'm sure somebody else has had twisties before her.
Well, gymnastics has a lot of dangers. I mean, you could be ruined for life. You know, you could be a quadriplegic. You know, because mm-hmm. they don't have the protections that the football players have.
Oh, right. You know, well, that's another whole subject, the whole thing of the football, what they call it, the concussion protocol. Yeah.
Protocols. Well, gymnastics, I mean, you think about what your joints go through.
Mm.
Put fast forward 40, 50, 60 years, how are you feeling at that point?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hey, let's move on.
Yeah.
January 6th. Peter, you have some ideas on the January 6th. March on Washington.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Every time I hear the word insurrection, I laugh really, really hard. Because insurrection back, way back when, before guns, you think about the knives and pitchforks. But in 2020, 2021, insurrection usually involved armament.
Right.
How many shots were fired that day?
One. And it killed a protester.
An unarmed person.
An unarmed protester. Yeah.
The protests for the unarmed person being killed were?
Zero.
Exactly. But if any side's going to do an insurrection. I mean, any side, you're not walking in there with stuff you're throwing at people. You're walking in there with guns.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So when they say insurrection, I'm like, that's marketing. All they're doing is marketing.
And, you know, what's the old Goebbels line? You know, tell a lie, tell it long enough, tell it strong enough. Eventually people believe you.
Yeah.
So they're just going to stick with that until they, with the media's help, they're going to push that line that January 6th was an insurrection, the worst day in our history, greater than the Revolutionary War, greater than the Civil War, greater than 9/11.
Which is sickening. Yeah.
It is. In fact, I've thought of, for some reason, I cannot remember the young lady's name that was killed on January 6th.
Ashley Babbitt.
Yeah. I've thought of getting a T-shirt made honoring Ashley Babbitt. And that's something people should do. Remember Ashley Babbitt. Remember Ashley Babbitt. Do not forget Ashley Babbitt. And if somebody out there is a T-shirt maker or somebody knows where you can get one of those, I'd like to know, because I would like to buy one. And we'll even help promote it here. So if you know where to get those, let us know. If not, if somebody makes T-shirts, give me a call. I have a few great ideas. In fact, my main one that I also want to do is one that I want to wear. And it will say, I know what you're thinking. But according to Joe Biden, I'm not black.
There you go.
And then on the back, I want to put MAGA 2024, but it's MAGAA. Make America Great Again, and then a big again. With an exclamation point. So
there you go.
This is the stuff I think about at night before I go to sleep. You know, I get all of these ideas and I just don't have the time, energy, or whatever to put all of these things forth.
Sure.
And that's
why. If there were two of you, you'd get it all done.
Yeah, have you ever heard of this program called Your One Degree? Anybody ever heard of it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a gentleman here in town, he does seminars, and then he takes you and you do these personality tests, and you do about five of these. And each time you do one, then they take questions and they redo the next one. And eventually they get down to the one thing that you should really focus on in your life and be a success at.
Yeah.
Because so many people are scattered like me. So anyway, I did this and I think they got me down to 6 degrees.
All right.
And that's about as far as we could go. We couldn't mm-hmm. get it past the 60. I just can't.
But we wouldn't have a Ben Franklin. We wouldn't have a right. Michelangelo. There's a lot of people we wouldn't.
I don't know. Michelangelo wasn't he focused on painting the Sistine Chapel
and sculpting?
And sculpting,
right? But still the same. I mean, it's still art. It's still art. Come on, you got to do better than that.
Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah, I will give you that. He was an inventor. Okay, a little better. So maybe two degrees.
Astronomist. I mean, there were just so many things.
Astronomist.
Yes.
Alchemist also.
An alchemist.
Was he not the first person that said, "I think it's round, folks. I don't think it's flat."
I thought it was Galileo.
Okay, there's another one. Well,
no, Galileo was the Earth was not the center of the universe.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so Galileo didn't think the Earth was round?
Well, he knew the Earth was round.
Oh, okay. But it was from before, somebody else.
Yeah,
but I thought it was the flat Earth. People, we're chasing rabbits now.
12
so
degrees, please, 12 degrees.
Yeah, 12. See? Even in our conversation.
I'm just saying use all your gifts.
Use them all.
No, I agree. But
you're gifted, Eddie. You're very gifted.
Well, there's a truth to being focused. And knowing there what your strengths are, so you don't waste your time pursuing something that you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Like I tell Julian all the time, you know, you should do more than look at your telephone all day, your cell phone all day. You need to expand your universe a little.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Julian, have you? Oh, he doesn't have a mic. I want him to answer. No. Have you ever heard of a thing called a book?
Eddie, I wanted to be a musician. I wanted to play instruments. If human effort alone makes you a good musician, I would be great. My wife, when we were engaged, she said, "Dave, give it up. You ain't got it."
You know,
best advice I've
You know,
given.
The best example, true, is athletics, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, my kids played soccer.
Yeah.
And when we played rec soccer, it was for fun to kids. And we had some outstanding kids. Yeah. And I think we almost coached some of the talent out of these kids. But when it comes to, for example, my youngest son, he also played football at Union. He was a running back. And he was the number two running back because the number one running back was the best in the state. And it wasn't any training. The kid was just born good.
Yep.
And you know, take Kevin Durant, mm-hmm. which also, speaking of the Olympics, the U.S. Olympic basketball team won last night.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
they beat France. I stayed up till midnight and actually watched this.
I heard it was a pretty good game.
It was. They kept missing. I won't go into all that. But anyway, Kevin Durant, you know, he was 6'9" as a freshman in college and could play like a point guard.
Yeah.
I mean, he could dribble like crazy. Yeah. He could shoot from outside, inside. And, oh, by the way, he is now 6'12".
Wow.
You got it, Peter. Yeah. That's 7 feet.
Oh. Public school here.
Yeah.
Another topic.
Yeah, it's a funny thing because the announcer was saying he does not like to be called a 7-footer. Mm-hmm. So they always say, be sure to say he's 6'12".
Yep. Okay. Yeah.
Can you imagine he doesn't want to be a 7-footer, so he considers himself 6'12", which is same thing.
Good, anyway, good marketing, too.
Yeah, but he's unbelievable. He's also now the number one scorer in Olympic history. He beat Michael Jordan out on that. Three Olympics, and he averaged basically 30 points a game.
Yeah.
So he's done very, very well. So congratulations to KD. I'm sorry that the Thunder lost him, Oklahoma City Thunder, because I think they got rid of the wrong ones at the wrong time. They should have kept him and gotten rid of one or two others earlier. The one has been in about three different places now, too. But anyway, now I digress. Boy, I'm sorry.
We're on the same page on
back
that one, though.
Back to January 6th, the so-called insurrection. As we said, there were no shots fired. We didn't even arrest anybody because carrying firearms in Washington, D.C. is illegal anyway.
Right.
So nobody even had any firearms on them. Have you been watching Tucker? Tucker has found out that now that they had FBI plants in there,
absolutely,
which were actually instigating a lot of this.
Yes, they were.
And it's funny because all of the co-conspirators or so, they basically, they're 21 now that they have that were released with no charges. And these are all FBI undercover people
there you go.
That were in there basically to start this mess.
Yeah. The swamp. The swamp. It goes back to the swamp.
Yeah. And I don't think we talked very much, or if at all, about the four. Yeah, we did talk about the officers last week that they brought before the Congress.
That circus.
That was just ridiculous.
Quite a show.
It was a real show.
Basically, if the FBI incites, if you and I incite others to felony, we go to prison. But if the FBI does it, they get a promotion. Because that's exactly what happened with, first of all, the Michigan insurrection deal, where 12 of the 18 were FBI people. And so what happened, the guy who masterminded for the FBI got promoted and moved to Washington, D.C., and now he's the one that's suspected of organizing and inciting that so-called insurrection. Which, by the way, I'm from Minneapolis. I used to pastor a church on just south of Lake Street on Minnehaha. Well, that police station that they burned down, that still is not called an insurrection.
Right. Yeah. Well, same thing with the federal courthouse in the West Coast. Yeah.
Oh, we could go on and on.
Yeah.
The other thing, I watched the Netflix has a show on, and it was dealing with Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, and the whole way they caught him. And the FBI agent that was involved in it never got any recognition. They just threw him aside. They just used him and tossed him aside.
Really?
And the people that took credit for it were just not the people that did it. And they wouldn't have caught him without this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy just never – in fact, it's a kind of a sad story, really. His family broke up and it was a mess. And then the other one is, of course, the Atlanta – Olympic bombing.
Okay, that's a tragedy.
That's another true one. Tragedy. Have you seen that movie?
Yes.
Yeah, Clint Eastwood did a movie on that. And same thing again. The FBI outed this guy and worked with the media to paint this guy as the Unabomber, and he just tried to break it up. He was the guy that saved a lot of lives, in fact.
Yes, yeah.
And they were saying that he faked it all. He was involved in it, and fortunately, he did get paid later when they found out that he had been mischarged or misaccused and all.
But then he died. Which is so
sad. That's true. But so how did we get here? I mean, I have to say, I think Elliot Ness, even J. Edgar Hoover, they painted him as this horrible person. But I think Hoover knew the Constitution. He knew the law. He ran it by the book. And they're always upset that Hoover was trying to paint Martin Luther King Jr. as a communist. And I don't know if he was a card-carrying, full-on communist member, but I do have to say he did have influences from the communists, and I believe he was. Here's a question I have. Boy, I just have to throw this in because it's on my mind, and this has nothing to do with January 6th, but it's dealing with Martin Luther King. I just always wonder how he gets away with certain things. And I'm not talking about any of the moral stuff. I'm just talking about just his ideas and philosophy. But he's considered this great civil rights champion. But the March on Washington, where he made his great I Have a Dream speech and all of that, he didn't write that speech.
Okay.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And he was a great orator.
Yes, he is.
And the person that really organized the event was a gay guy who essentially could not be the face of the march because homosexuality back then was still seen as a negative.
Particularly in the black community.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's a great point. And so that guy was in the background, but he was the actual organizer of all of this. And so Martin Luther King Jr. got the credit. Now, after that, Martin Luther King Jr., whose real name is Michael King, by the way, that Martin Luther, he's just not really his real name, but it's Michael King. But anyway, we'll call him MLK. So anyway, Martin Luther King Jr. Got all credit. But afterwards, in about 1964-65, his popularity waned in the black community. That's when Malcolm X, H.R.A.P. Brown, Stokely Carmichael, in fact, they all call him an Uncle Tom, including Malcolm X.
Right,
they actually thought he wasn't radical enough and that he was just a tool of the white man. The thing that propelled, and you guys feel free to check me out. Go back. I want you to. I want you to buy what I'm saying. This is all the truth. Martin Luther King didn't really regain his popularity till he joined the labor movement big time. He had been in the labor movement, but then he really took that. Now, the real thing that propelled him to immortality was that he was anti-war, and he became the big anti-war person. Mm-hmm. And the anti-war movement is really, that movement along with labor are what really immortalized Martin Luther King. It wasn't black, you know, equality, racial justice, any of that. His big thing was that he was known for, in the left, he became the champion of the left for his anti-war sentiment, for his positivity and his boosting labor mm-hmm. unions and so forth. In fact,
sure.
Do you guys know why he was in Memphis when he got shot?
Yeah, there was a garbage strike.
Exactly, it was a garbage strike. He was there on behalf of AFSCAM. Yep.
Yeah, it, well, you know, politics and political movements like that, whether it be an issue such as civil rights or anti-war or labor, when it gets to that level of national organization, it loses a lot of its ideological purity.
Yes.
And things are bartered. Okay, we will show up for your protest, but you guys need to come to ours and stuff. And then the little guy who just shows up because they want to support it, sometimes they're like, I don't even know why I'm here, but they said to come. And you get these rent-a-mobs. And so, yeah. That happens, and it's not just Martin Luther King Jr. It just, you see it on the left. Rush Limbaugh always called it the rent-a-mob, you know?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, everybody, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in about a minute. Get up, enjoy yourself, and we'll continue with more of Fresh Black Coffee. We're back with our guest, Peter Biadasz. Mm-hmm. I got it right.
You've nailed it.
All right. And one of these days I'll remember the guy's name here on my left. That's the co-host. I always have to remember giant house. Riesigheim is the German for a giant home.
Okay.
And so Riesigheim is the Flemish version of giant. So I always call him David from a giant house.
There you go.
And we established.
Okay. Call me anything but late for supper and I'm fine. That's right.
Anyway, we're continuing. I threw a lot of stuff out there. I'm going to back up a little bit. Let's discuss immigration and the border. Peter, you've got some ideas on that.
Well, it's interesting to see how the citizens of our country are being. You have to wear masks, you have to get vaccines, but every single day there's 7,000 people, unmasked, unvaccinated, coming across our border and disseminated all throughout the country. They can do whatever they want. We have to abide by the law. What's wrong with that picture?
Oh, everything. And it's getting worse and worse. They're tightening the screws on Americans more mm-hmm. and more. The other thing, where are all these people going? Do you know where they're being sent? Did you know they're not telling anybody that?
The media has been really quiet. But
even the federal government, they tried. Some states have, people have tried to find, and they won't reveal where they're sending these people.
Exactly. So what's really going on here? What's really going on here?
I have a feeling they're trying to flood red states, of course, with all these people. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they need to send a few to Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I totally agree.
Vineyard, Hollywood, Beverly Hills, you know, Nancy Pelosi's place in Carmel, California.
That's right.
They have a place in Hawaii, too, by the way.
Hawaii? Oh, boy. Oh, see, that's a tough place. Those Asians out in Hawaii. I mean, they don't like white people. I'm sure they like others even less.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, I say white people, Howleys, as they call them. Round eyes.
But the thing that's surprising me is how the citizens of our country are falling for this. And it goes back to something we talked about before, just not being uninformed. But a lot of people just kind of stepping in line. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and follow this. Forget what the illegals are doing. And it's like there's no pushback or not enough pushback.
Yeah.
Yeah, a part of it, I think, is being uninformed. A lot of it, I think, is just people are so into themselves. Mm-hmm. And they have no foresight. You know, we could get off on a tangent again about the church. You know, okay. I mean, we're talking very good, solid churches, but all they want to do is build their own, you know, church membership.
Little kingdoms.
Big kingdoms.
Yep.
And it just frustrates me because they don't realize that, for example, I think I wrote an article a while back. It's called Renovating the Living Room While the House is Burning. Mm-hmm. That's how I see it. And you know, can you picture that? Somebody's, hey, your house is on fire. I'm sorry, I don't have time for that. I'm busy fixing up my living room here.
Exactly.
Carpet cleaners.
Yeah, look at that big 70-inch flat screen I have and this beautiful artwork in this. But look behind you, right there, you know, your kitchen, bedrooms, they're all on fire. It's going to eventually burn your living room.
Oh, yeah. And the thing for me that's really scary, if you study the fall of great civilizations, fall of the Roman Empire, mm-hmm. if you look at how that happened, you look what's going on with our country, you see these parallels. Mm-hmm. But again, we're informed people. Most people are not informed on stuff like that.
I think that's a cop-out. Or not a cop-out, but I think we're letting people off the hook.
I totally agree. Totally agree.
So, I mean, because, you know, we could say, oh, they're not informed. If you're uninformed in today's information age.
And that's the quandary of the whole thing, yeah.
Exactly. Then you just don't want to know.
Yeah.
It's like I'm sticking my head in the sand and ignoring it. And I don't care as long as, oh, did you know I'm getting $15 an hour now? Did you know that mm-hmm. I'm getting a $2,000 check from the government? Mm-hmm. I can do this. I got this. I got this. And, oh, by the way, look at that beautiful new Samsung 65-inch HD TV I have, and mm-hmm. look at this car, mm-hmm. look at these clothes, look at this. Oh, I got a boat on this lake, that lake.
Well, that was like, I just read an article yesterday about someone who can't pay their rent because of all the stuff going on, but he's got two boats, and the landlord's going, illegally, I can't do a thing under this climate, but this guy's living really, really nice without paying rent.
But by the way, Biden admitted he knows it's illegal. I think you may have heard
that, but
they're saying that he even admitted that, yeah, but by the time the courts get to it, well, what I would do if I were a landlord, I would throw them out anyway, have them go after me. And then when the court comes back to this, then we'll say, you know, they're going to owe me.
Yeah.
I'm suing for court costs. I'm suing for this, and this because in you know, mental anguish.
Right. Yes.
Oh, loss of consortium. Yes. I mean, I'm suing for any and everything.
Unjust prosecution. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Denying court guys. Yeah, there's no doubt. I think, you know, small nations are often taken over by larger nations, but the big empires always fall down of their own weight.
Right.
You've seen it with communism. You've seen it with the great empires of the world. And I think China is really just propping us up to fall down of our own weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just buying our T-bills and everything, getting us so big and I think it's going to crash us.
Here's a question I ask all the time, and let me ask you guys. Why do we have so many people in power, in the ruling class, to go along with this? Do they really? Well, I think I'm at, let me just leave it there. I'm about to answer my own question or try. Go ahead.
Well, their needs are being met. They're not poor people. Okay, there's a lot of money rolling in. You look at how much money Pelosi's worth just for working for the government.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And that list goes on and on and on.
You know, but does she think that's going to continue forever? For the few years she has left.
Exactly. Yeah. I think for her purposes, she's doing pretty good. But yeah, and then you see other countries too where the poor people are poor, but the ruling elite have what they want for the most part. The same pattern here.
Yeah. I think Pat Robertson in 88, when he ran for president, he said, a politician is concerned about the next election. A statesman is concerned about the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we've got to look for more statesmen.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's good. Well, the number one job of politicians is to get reelected.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all they're doing is what they need to do to get reelected.
Yes. Right. But why? Why are you getting reelected if you're not going to really make America or your country in general better?
It goes back to the what's in it for me. These people, these people make a lot of money.
Stimulus checks, they help you get reelected.
You know, I've always seen this, and I call it a new feudalism. If you remember the feudal states, how it worked.
Yes.
You had the king and queen, then you had the lords and the vassals and on down. And then you, of course, had the peons, the people that...
The peasants.
The peasants, yeah, that were actually enslaved, essentially. I mean, really, they were enslaved. They were basically slaves and servants to the higher class. So the only work you had to work for the vassal, the earls, the dukes, the duchesses, and the viscounts, and this counts and this don't count, you know, and all of that. we're back to that.
Yes.
You have the president that's acting like a king. Then you've got the court, which is his, what do you call those?
The cabinet.
The cabinet, thank you, the cabinet. Then you have Senate, Congress, which are like dukes and earls.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have state officials, your viscounts, and your local officials, and they're acting exactly like they did in the feudal system. And then the peasants are the people that are working and paying taxes. But as we know, it always ends. It always ends, sometimes badly, with beheadings, hangings, torches, and pitchforks.
Yep.
And that's why they're – and this brings me to another thing of – gun control.
Ah, okay.
We don't use pitchforks and torches anymore.
That's right. Unless it's an insurrection.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Then we use selfie sticks.
Yeah.
selfie sticks are the new torches and pitchforks. But it's what they're afraid of is AR-15s. 45 semi-automatics and things like that, because that's the only reason they could be worried about those, that they know that the people at some point are going to say enough and they're not going to be. And especially here's what's funny too. They are downsizing the police, which would normally protect them. And the, counting on the military. The problem is the military is still largely patriotic.
Yep.
And if they keep going, no one's going to want to send their sons and daughters to the military.
Right.
And they're not going to. Now, they're counting on a new generations of being indoctrinated so they can do a new military, which is subservient and basically totally yielded to the leftist ideology.
Mm-hmm.
But even, remember, Romania, East Germany, all of the Soviet Union even, where the military says, we're not firing on our own people.
Right.
Yes.
We're coming after you, Ceausescu.
Now, the Germans did a very interesting thing. I was studying Auschwitz one time, and the way they shifted the guards every now and then, periodically. But what that would happen is the new guards that were coming in would be told that the old guards that are there were traitors. And so what they would do with the old guards is they'd have them play a soccer game where they don't have their weapons with them. The new guards would come in and kill them all because they were told they were traitors. But those new guards, when they were called to their soccer game, didn't realize the new guys coming in were there because they were told they were traitors.
So they knew what was going on,
yeah.
The new guys, and
yeah.
It didn't work. They brought weapons anyway.
It worked enough times. That's the problem.
I just can't imagine a military that all in unison takes a knee during the national anthem.
Oh God, no!
That ain't gonna happen.
No,
it's not.
It only goes so far.
Yeah, it does. So, anyway, let's go to immigration and our borders.
It's all.
I think we've already hit on that a bit, but let's, you know, as you said, we're flying people all over the country, and we don't know where they're going. Many of them are very COVID positive. Probably 30-40%, I think I heard, could be COVID positive.
Yeah, they're moving targets on that one.
Yeah, yeah. And yet, I think, am I right in assuming what they're trying to do is import new voters because the old voters, they know they can't continue?
Well, right, which is why they specifically took a hard line on Cuba and told those people, kind of no, funny. You can't come.
Yeah, Haitians. Right.
Yeah.
See, this is what gets me, too, about black people. I've for long said, why is it that we're so anxious to let people south of our border come in, but a Haitian comes in, no, you can't come in, you got to go back. This is our nice liberal, you know, Democrat Party.
That's right.
That they don't want. We don't want those people. And probably one reason they don't want them is because, I don't know if you know this, but Caribbean black people are like Cubans. Mm-hmm. They come to America for the American dream.
Right.
Yes. They want to be prosperous. They're not going to, whereas you get these other people that have been subjugated in socialist backgrounds. They're just going to come here. They'll be happy to get the free stuff and continue to be subservient until we quit giving them the free stuff.
Okay. Talk about the free stuff.
I got it.
Uh-oh.
Say, you know, I would rather take a generic Hispanic family who's from a country that didn't provide any government services for them. I'll take them, Peter, no offense, but I'll take them over an Eastern European socialist immigrant who's used to the government providing and controlling everything about their lives. You know, because the Hispanic people to me generally, and I know I'm just lumping everybody in here.
You are.
Yes. But the family values that I see coming out of it, am I right, Julian? My token Hispanic. The family values that I see coming out of Latin America really impressed me. It's some things, and then they're not people that are used to the government providing everything
That used to be the case.
Yeah.
Used to be the case. However, we have 2, 3, 4 generations now of ghettoized Hispanics.
Okay.
It's happening in the Asian community too. Mm-hmm. If you notice, what's the big thing among Asians these days? They have copied the hip hop culture.
Okay.
They like fast cars. They wear and talk and act like they're black. The young, the youth, the Asian youth. The day of the dragon mom, I think, is gone. You have Asian. They've been acculturized to the new America. Yeah. And so what you've got now, a lot of the people who are coming to America now are not coming any longer because it provides opportunity. They're coming because Joe Biden said, come in, we're going to give you a place to stay, we're going to give you food, we're going to give you free medicine, we're going to give you this. Nobody has said anything about working.
That's a good point.
They used to sneak in and do everything so they could pick your apples and your strawberries.
Okay. Right.
And we're not coming for that anymore. They're coming to pick your pockets now. But and you can quote me for that.
I contend they became that way after they got here. And I think it was our American culture.
Used to. Now it's the other way around. They're coming because Joe Biden and his people have promised them, we're going to give you free housing. And they've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
They've seen the examples. Yes. Oh, so-and-so went to America and they got free housing. They got free this, free that, free that. I'll tell you, if you went into any Texas, Arizona, Hispanic community, and you ask them, do you want them coming? No.
Yeah.
They do not. They're as opposed. That's the dangerous game they're playing.
Okay.
That the Hispanics that came here to work hard, that came here to build a new life for themselves and so forth and to work hard, they understand who's coming. It's cartels. It's people that are freeloaders, people that didn't contribute to their society. You know, they're emptying their prisons. They're sending, you know, we used to be send us you're tired and you're poor. Now it's send us you're lazy and you're shiftless.
I agree. I'll say what you're saying is plausible, but I'm saying historically, let's say over the last 50 years, I think my observation has weight classically, historically. You may be correct now.
As I said, has. As you said, has.
Yeah. Has,
but is. We're in is.
Yeah, the successful Hispanic citizens I talk to here do not like the people coming over.
Exactly.
Because they're not the – they're everything you just described. And it goes back to boundaries. There's no border, so that boundary is gone. And the same thing with where their lifestyle is. There's no boundaries because they're just getting. They're not establishing boundaries for themselves. And while they are family oriented, it's the family resources coming from the government, not from the hard work.
See, I grew up part of my life in El Paso, Texas, right on the border with Juarez.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I love the Mexican culture. Mm-hmm. Everything about it. El Paso, believe it or not, was the fourth safest city in America, even though Juarez wasn't the most dangerous. And there's a 10-foot river, 10-foot wide river separating the two.
Yeah.
But it's because the Hispanic people in El Paso themselves have kept it.
Yes.
And so, but they're being assaulted in the onslaught of continue.
Yeah.
The other thing, newsflash, these people don't like each other.
Right.
I was with a, I'm going to say this. I had a client from El Salvador. Mm-hmm. And he came in one day and he was talking about how he was upset about what's happening here in Tulsa, El Salvador. Hardworking guy, and he was telling me, yeah, he didn't want his kids going to a certain school here because there's nothing but a bunch of niggers and Mexicans.
Okay.
And I'm looking at,
okay,
wait a minute.
Wow.
You're talking about your cousins here. You know, I mean, this is the mentality. El Salvadorans don't respect Mexicans. Mexicans don't respect them, or they probably, none of them like Guatemalans and Nicaraguans. You know, it's the old tribal gang mentality. It's, again, it's not about race. It's about our tribe.
Well, we have a Latino American networking group here in Tulsa. And in being around that for the last couple of years, realized there's 16 countries involved. And we had a discussion one time of who doesn't like who and why. Because everybody just lumped everybody together. No.
No.
Got 16 totally different perspectives, which is great educationally. Now the question was, how do we all get along? Food was a common thing, so it's worked out really nicely. But the sociological part of the whole thing was an, oh, my God, seriously?
Oh, you look at Germans and Dutch.
Yeah.
They have a border between them.
Yeah.
You take the Dutch and the Belgians. In fact, like, you know, the old Polish jokes. Well, in Holland, they're Belgian jokes.
Yeah.
And in fact, I was at a guy's house, and I looked on the wine. It had a Belgian coffee cup. And I looked at the coffee cup, and, you know, the handle where you pick up the thing? At the Belgian coffee cup, it was inside the cup. So that was their version.
You were just saving that for a Saturday morning.
No, I just thought about it just now, you know.
Yeah,
so
okay.
It just hit me because we're talking about this tribalism, this thing between, I don't know, it's a human trait.
Oh, yeah.
My clan, yeah. my this, my that, you know. And so gang warfare, I'll throw this out real quick. I've been to Africa many times, and it was a black gospel magazine. It used to have this Christian record label. And so we were in Nashville at this black magazine office, and the editor somehow found out I had been to Africa, and he had never been. He came, oh, hey, brother, welcome. Good to see you. He said, I hear you've been to Africa. I said, oh, yeah, many times. He said, well, tell me, brother, what do we still have? What did we bring over from the old country with us? What do we have? And I said, you want to know? He said, yeah, yeah. I said, you really want to know? He said, yeah. I said, tribalism. The guy instantly just, his countenance changed. He looked at me with this, I want to kill you, right? And turned around and went back into his office. He did not want to hear that. Mm-hmm. And me, with my lack of diploma, I should have given him all kinds of glorious things. He would have promoted our label more. But anyway.
Yeah.
That's politics.
But
that's
that's politics. But I just don't play politics. I just can't do it. It's just not in my nature. But he was upset because I basically told the gang thing in America, the gang, Chicago, L.A., Philadelphia, it's just an offshoot of tribalism.
Yeah.
And it's not just, we had tribalism in England.
Sure we did.
Right? You had the Scots and the Irish and the British and this. And then you had this clan from the hills and this these folk and those folk and those folk. Every country has had this.
Sociology. That's what it is.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that's, and so now the problem is, do borders mean anything? And apparently to a whole lot of people, they don't, because votes mean more than a national identity. And that's sad. That's the sad. We are giving. Now, listen, I don't care if you have Taco Monday, Chitlin Wednesday, Schnitzel Friday. You know, keep your culture. Keep whatever your culture. In fact, I love all of that food except chitlins. I can't quite get it. Chitlins and the Hispanic or the Mexican version, menudo, which is not the same, but it's similar. Those are the things I can't quite. But I am so happy that those traditions have been kept. Mm-hmm. You don't want to lose those. You know what I mean? Because there's something, but like, I'm very proud of my African heritage. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just love, you know, the people of Africa. But I'm also very proud of my German tradition. Like, I love schnitzel and pommes frites and, you know, the way they make their potato salad with vinegar instead of mustard and mayonnaise.
It is good potato salad. Yeah. I agree to that.
Yeah, there's just certain things. But at the same time, now my wife, in fact, I took a picture last week and put it on Facebook of my wife makes a thing called caldillo. It's a Mexican stew. So first she invited me. We weren't dating or anything. I always said it was a trap. Anyway, she invited me over to her house and her mother. I think her mother knew. Her mother was, she lived with her mom still. She was real young. I was young. Anyway, and so she decided to make this caldillo. And still, she makes it about once a month or so. And I love caldillo. She makes the best enchiladas, the best tacos. She gets down. The only thing she hasn't mastered, and she feels very badly about it, is chili relleno. She can't quite get chili rellenos down. But my mouth waters as I speak. She's very good at the things she does. But anyway, but see, those are things that I love: spaghetti, pizza. You know, I love certain things. Polish have these certain things that like bread with meat in it,
like gołąbki and pierogies.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah. I can list all the Polish
people. Yeah, I just want. Yeah, I just like them when I see them. I don't have to pronounce them. But anyway, every culture, these countries all have this good. Oh, in Uganda, for example, East Africa, they have this thing called matoke. It's green bananas, mashed green bananas, mm-hmm. steamed and cooked. And it's like mashed potatoes, only it's mashed bananas.
Yeah.
But it's as a vegetable, not a fruit. I mean, it's not sweet or anything, and you pour gravy on it. It's like having mashed potatoes, but it's mashed bananas. It's called matoke. I love matoke.
Sounds good, yeah.
And goat. Matoke and goat.
Goat.
I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful meal. Have you not eaten goat?
No, my neighbor roasted one on Christmas Day, Hispanic guy.
Did you eat it?
And it stunk like crazy. I like, so what are you doing over there? He says, it's Christmas. I said, but what are you doing? He says, I told you it's Christmas. I said, what is that I smell? He says, a goat. It's Christmas. He was roasting on a spit, a whole goat, and he had like 50 relatives over in his little patio home, 2-bedroom home. I couldn't park for a block, you know, but now the smell, horrible.
The Christmas goat.
Well, I see he made a deep impression upon you there. You were all animate.
What kind of spices
it was? It was a Christmas goat.
A Christmas goat, yeah.
Did you eat it? Did you try it?
No.
So you've never eaten goat?
No.
Well, see, then you
smelled it, though. Well, God, I can't forget the smell.
But is it the old thing, don't knock it until you try it?
I suppose.
You know, no, I don't know what your situation was or what he used or what he...
Yeah.
Whether it was really a goat or he was just saying it was a goat.
And how it was prepared, too. Because it
could have been a porcupine or something. Yeah, he just said, exactly, well, I'll tell him, a skunk. He was cooking skunk.
Yeah, roadkill. Roadkill.
Yeah,
possums.
Yeah, possum. Yeah, it was East Oklahoma possum. Or East Oklahoma goat is a raccoon, you know.
You
no, but, no, but anyway, it's... I think getting back to the main thing,
main topic, yeah.
Immigration.
Thanks for the sidetrack, yeah.
Yeah. America is America because we do allow people to continue to observe their culture.
Absolutely.
While at the same time identifying, uniting as one people.
Yeah.
And what's happening, it's being torn apart. It's almost the exact opposite. Mm. We're having people come identify as who they were or who their people were, mm-hmm. and supposed to live together. it goes back to Jesus's the parable and Abraham Lincoln. A house divided cannot stand.
Right.
A house divided cannot long endure. And so until we remember that and understand it, we are in great peril. We are in great peril.
Oh, okay, but I've got to say, this issue about language, mm-hmm. all the Spanish-speaking people, and I know you're never going to get rid of that fully, but I was reading an old historic version of my hometown newspaper, Central Minnesota. We're just down the road from Lake Wobegon, where I grew up. And the Swedish Lutheran Church on this particular day said, for the first time, they're holding a Lutheran service in the English language mm-hmm. after 40 years of being Swedish only. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We survived in my hometown those 40 years because the Norwegians had their own Lutheran church. They were not going to speak Swedish.
Well, in Webster, Massachusetts, where I grew up, same thing. You had the Polish, the Italian, the French, and everything, and they were doing masses in their own language.
Oh, yeah, the Catholics, yes. Yeah. Yeah. See, where I was baptized and grew up, and the bishop literally forced three churches that were all within three blocks of each other to shut down, and he built one church, St. Mary's, and y'all going to worship there, and then we fought over the hymns.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yep. But we're hitting a lot of raw nerves with him today. I'm glad we can have this therapeutic session this
Immigration's always an issue, and I agree with you. We've got to celebrate these cultures. We got to respect these cultures because respect begets respect.
Right. See, here's the problem. Okay, we used to unite in America. Why did the pilgrims, why did the original people that came here, why did they come?
Well, they were escaping religious persecution.
Thank you.
Church hymns.
It was about
okay, the
offerings. They figured they were better offerings.
Church people get so carnal about what kind of music is played in the service. Oh, you know it, Eddie.
Let me reframe.
Forget him. David, please.
Let me reframe the question here.
He's wounded today. Take everything David has said today with a grain of salt. We've brought out some really wounds here.
When you're in the yacht this afternoon, just kind of chill out, okay?
Yeah. I believe
Isn't the real question, though, immigration legal versus illegal?
Yeah, it is. But what has led us to, I'm trying to get at the root of what's really going on. Okay. All right. This country was founded by people escaping religious persecution. Okay.
Yes. Right.
I mean, you can say it's all kinds of stuff. Now, the greed of man crept in. And of course, then, the Spaniards found gold and they wanted more gold. And so it became about gold. Then it became about sugar and cotton.
Lots of resources.
All of the resources. And of course, because we're the more powerful, they'd been doing it in Europe to each other.
Oh, yeah.
So now we're going to subjugate. We got new people to take over and make work for us, right?
Yep.
And so that's what happened. But that's what made America different from everybody, that we became ruled by the people.
Right.
Not the top. This is another thing. I'm going to throw this out there real quick. Christians, I'm tired of hearing, 2 Timothy 2 or 1 Timothy 2, be subject to the king and those authority.
Romans 13.
Well, no, it's in Timothy, yeah.
It's in Timothy, okay.
Yeah, Peter also said that,
But that we're supposed to the king, we're supposed to be subject to the king. Well, America doesn't have a king. We are the king.
Right.
The thing that made America America is we flipped it on its head, right?
Yeah.
The people are king, and then it's supposed to go down to the representatives, and you've got a president who essentially is nothing more than supposed to be subject to Congress and the courts.
Right.
Yeah.
We've got the other way around. I've got the president, unless you're a Republican, then the others all of a sudden want to be rulers. But when it's Barack Obama and you got to listen to the president. You got to listen to the president. Trump, Bush, whoever is the president. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, we don't have to listen to him.
Yeah. Right.
Nancy Pelosi really is. Yeah. But stuff is just screwed up. It's just totally messed up. It's supposed to be the people. The people are king.
Right.
So to me, I'm not thwarting authority when I question the president. You're supposed to just pray for him. No. When they're wrong, they're wrong. And I'm calling out because we, as the people, are the king.
Yeah.
We decide. We made him president. He didn't decide he's going to be president. He wasn't born a president. You know,
he works for us.
He works for us, and we don't work for him. But it's going the other way around.
Yeah.
And some and the other thing is de Tocqueville. Mm-hmm. De Tocqueville. Those
the
of
Frenchman.
You, the yeah. Frenchman came back in the 1700s, and he said that democracy is a great thing, but democracy is going to destroy democracy. Mm-hmm. And that's what I see is happening. And he said as soon as the people in power figure out that they can give the people what they want to keep their power, it's over. Sure. And that's where we are today. That the people in power have figured out that how to manipulate the people to keep them in power. They're enriching themselves. They're becoming more and more powerful. The people are becoming less and less powerful, and everything is being diminished. And I'm going to say this, it's all because we have diminished the authority of God. Mm-hmm. Because our rulers are no longer, they don't fear God. They don't see themselves as being under the authority of God, seeking him for the guidance and to do the right thing. It's all about them.
Right.
That's why you have a Nancy Pelosi, a Chuck Schumer. Just to say the name just gives me shivers because these people are so corrupt, so messed up, so full of vile and everything evil and wrong. And this is just infecting the whole country. So I think I've left the immigration issue. But
was it immigration?
I think it's very important that we understand. And now the immigration issue, the way it comes back to that is our people in power are trying to bring people in that they think will keep them in power, although it can't continue. It's unsustainable.
Right.
It's unsustainable because those people eventually, some of those are going to get new ideas when they come to America. And a lot of those people who are in the middle right now who were prospering, once they see that everything's being taken from them, sure, they're going to revolt. Mm-hmm. And that's when payday is coming to those people.
Something's
at the
gonna
time.
Happen.
It's going to happen. And it's not going to be some right-wing conspiracy. I think they will crumble from within their own devices.
Yeah.
I think it's going to, the left is going to destroy itself when the left starts turning on the left.
Well, the left has already started turning on the left.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, and
it's kind
and
of entertaining. Actually.
It can't. Yeah, I was gonna say it can't come soon enough. It can't come soon enough. All right, David, you've gotten quiet now because I guess you got it all out. You got it all out, and now you're just gonna sit back.
Well, you know, we're busting the little business people. You know, I know a construction framing contractor that got busted for hiring a bunch of people that coyotes delivered mm-hmm. some cheap labor to him out of Mexico. Mm-hmm. He gets busted.
Here in town or somewhere?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I personally know of it. But yet the big corporations, and Donald Trump talked about it in some of his resorts and, you know, where they have programs that the big businesses have tapped into that literally ships in foreign workers to work, you know, just seasonally or temporarily. And our federal government set that up and licensed them and do a – so big business has always had their carve out, but they want to bust the little business for hiring through the coyotes. Mm-hmm. Now think about that.
No, I agree with you totally. I think that is a good point that we – And I believe that is at the heart of a lot of this immigration, that you've got people looking for cheap labor.
Yes.
Because they don't want to pay $15 an hour, and they can pay these people. And years ago, I was a young insurance adjuster. I used to be a claims adjuster, and I was dealing with some workers' comp claims. Mm-hmm. And we had some illegal workers get injured, and they were able to sue under the Workers' Compensation Act, which is a governmental thing. Mm-hmm. Even though they were illegal. And I remember we had a vice president of the company coming one time, and I said, how is it that these people can make these claims and sue and they're not legally in our country? He said, well, because the courts have held you can't hold nationality against them in a liability case. I said, okay, that's fine. But then why don't we say that if a worker is injured on the job, it doesn't come under the Compensation Act, but the employer is liable. He's personally liable for that. And the guy looked at me and says, oh, he said, you'll never get that to pass. Yeah. I said, oh, okay, so we're not really worried about the immigration thing and illegal workers. And so what they figured out, they would rather pay the cheap labor and pay higher insurance rates than be on the hook for an injured illegal immigrant employee. And so that, you know, that explains. And so that's what I think that's been behind a lot of this. I think Trump's immigration policies, his pharmaceutical things, you had all these corporations ganging up on him to and not just him, but just in general, the whole concept of conservative thought. And that's why they fought so vigorously to get rid of him, because he was going to hurt their bottom line and top line, actually, which trickles down. So that's it's all, in the end, it's all about money. It's all about money.
We've got a right-wing labor movement going on in Oklahoma.
That's it. Right now. Probably in the country, in the whole nation.
Well, this I'm following more locally because...
Where are you following this on? Sooner
Politics. Sooner Politics. I wrote an article about it. It called that the right-wing labor movement because the Oklahoma Republican Party chair has just called out that, hey, we have got to protect our healthcare workers from these vaccine mandates that are not FDA approved, right? And because many of our hospitals, these big corporations, and I mean, look, it isn't the nuns running St. John's anymore, okay? Right. This is big business, big corporations, and they want to put mandates on that all their workers, even the janitors, got to have these full vaccine regimens, and we don't know how much it's going to grow. And so all of a sudden there was a fight with the legislature. The governor, the lieutenant governor, even Mark Wayne Mullen weighed in and like, you know, don't tell us, Republican Party, that we've got to all of a sudden come down hard on these employers and say, no, these employees have rights over what goes in their body. Mm-hmm. And it's a big fight right now. And it's, I call it a right-wing labor movement because these people are just saying, no, I'm not going to do it. And here's the big reason I'm going to indict our legislature right now on this. This is the time, quietly, most people don't know it, that fundraising goes on for politicians because they want to pad up their reelection campaign to scare off any potential challengers.
Right.
And this is the last time or the worst time to start going after big business if you're a politician. That's what's going on right now. And I'm
so, in other words, what you're saying is we have politicians, state politicians, or those representatives federally and state from Oklahoma that are being fed by corporations.
Oh, yes.
And they're doing their bidding.
Yes. And
so it's not just a Democrat, Republican. Yeah. And in Oklahoma, of course, because it's almost all Republican. So that's all they can go after.
Yeah. But the problem in this is, and there's not really any good guy in here because this is a hard case. You don't want, for instance, you know, I'll call him out, Sean Roberts, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago.
And he said,
He's the state representative from up here in Osage County and a little bit of Tulsa County. But he called on the governor to make an emergency executive order demanding hospitals, you cannot impose vaccines. I called him up the same day he put out. I said, Sean, do you want a Governor Whitmer? Are you trying to turn this into a Michigan where you got some governor? I said, you can't do that, Sean. Well, he backed off. Now he wants a special session, you know, because he wants legislation to enact the same thing. Mm-hmm. But what's driving it is you've got thousands of people, especially women in childbearing years, that have reasonable concerns.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's been my thing all along.
It is a big deal.
Yeah.
What my suggestion is, we've got this really bad thing in our state constitution that says no hospital can be established and go into business unless the government issues a certificate of need. In other words, that the market's not being handled. They're setting up monopolies with, you know, with exclusive territorial rights.
Okay.
I remember how hard
for hospitals.
Yes, for any hospital. And I just suggested that they put up a referendum vote of people to get rid of that, so you could truly go back to free enterprise.
So competition.
Yes, yeah. And have competition.
Yeah.
That's my solution on it.
And it's not just competition. We need it.
Yes.
You know, we keep hearing, oh, the beds are full. Da, da, da. Well, yeah. Why don't you build another hospital?
Yeah, exactly.
New beds.
Right. And what you've got, especially in rural, some of these county seats in the outlying areas, there's one hospital and there will always only be one hospital.
Right.
And they're not motivated to provide good service.
Right.
And they will just dictate. And some of these, you know, places, it's horrible.
Oh, yeah.
It just is. And they get bought up by the same big outfits.
Same people.
And they're not motivated to really provide better service.
Exactly. Well, exactly.
Hey, I've got one last thing. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to get the audio. But you may remember the lady from Missouri, St. Louis, who was, I think she was the attorney general at the time or something. She's gone to Congress now. And she's the one that presented charges against the couple that pulled out their guns to defend their property.
Yes.
Well, she's in D.C. now. She won her congressional seat. And it's been exposed that she has spent over $100,000 just on personal security.
Yeah.
But she is pushing hard to defund the police.
Yep.
So here you have the hypocrisy of her wanting to defund the police while spending $100,000 taxpayer dollars to provide for her own security. And I wish I had the audio, because in it she says, I am so important. It doesn't matter how much I spend. I can spend $100,000 more or $10 more. It doesn't matter. I need this protection. Because I'm so important, because I do the work of the people. I mean, the hypocrisy is just in that anybody would sit back and say, oh, yeah, that makes sense. It's just crazy.
What does she think of the public that she needs to do all this? Because I guarantee you, Mark Wayne Mullen and Kevin Hearn, all these people, they don't do that.
Well, they don't need protection either.
Yeah, she gave no concern for anybody but herself. Whoever wrote her speech, because it was a great speech, really. I was laughing the whole time.
I know.
it's politics.
A great speech, humorously.
Yeah,
speech.
Exactly.
Not seriously.
No. Yeah, I mean, but from a political standpoint, if you want to prove your point, yes, it was a good presentation. We'll put it that way. But it was the most selfish thing, and it's the most sick thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Arrogance,
putting it politely.
Yes.
Because she even said, you want me dead?
Yeah.
Was one of the things she was
quoting. That's her disdain for the American people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She fears us.
And the sad thing is her constituents probably, that makes sense. I mean,
exactly.
That's how dumb some of these people are out there in the, as you said, you know, you think they're uninformed. Well, I think they're just dumb or purposely dumb.
Well, one of my favorite quotes is, you know, statistically speaking, half the people are below normal.
I think that's conservative. Half is conservative. Yeah. It's crazy. But it does. You're right. It's just the most hypocritical thing that she feels so important that she needs to spend $100,000 in personal security while and like, oh, you don't know the threats I've gotten. You don't think everybody gets threats.
Yeah.
I've got an idea. Why don't you go to your local gun shop? Get you a 9mm with some, you know, home defense rounds that it only takes one or two to do the job.
Yep.
You know, get yourself an AR-15 if you have to, and, you know, for your husband or whatever, and hire maybe one bodyguard.
Get a shotgun. That's what Joe says. Get a shotgun.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I think some of the threats she's getting is because of the position she's taking on the police. If she changes some positions, maybe some threats will go away.
That's true. And or maybe if she increased the police, she could get them to
protect her.
Give more attention to her, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing is idiotic.
Oh,
it's
idiotic.
And anybody that would buy that is just out of their mind. So, but anyway, oh man, guys, we could go on for this has been a good show. It's been on a while, but we're going to go ahead and end it here. And I thank you, Peter.
Thank you for having me.
Fresh black coffee. Fresh black dot coffee is where you'll get our video feed. Our audio is at Podbean. Freshblackcoffee.podbean.com. Right. Yep.
Thank you, David.
T-shirts and mugs are on their way.
Oh. We'll see you at the lake.
Yes. Hey, guys, we're out of here for another week. Thank you so much for listening. God bless and have a great week.
All right. Awesome. Oh, that was a lively show.
That was fun.